You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville, and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira, FM 102.3.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson. And welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bible to the great book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 1, where we left off last time. 1 Samuel, chapter 17, verse 1. Everybody in the world is invited to come here every Wednesday at 6 p.m. First of all, we're live on the air with SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. When we go off the air, we pray fervently in the Spirit for America, and then I pray for you. And on the first Wednesday of every month at 6 p.m., do come. But I offer LOL, lots of love for you. No, that's not sex-rated. What I do on that first Wednesday, I'm not on the air, but I devote hours to pray for everyone who comes, come from all over the world. And I pray for everybody, the laying on of hands by the Holy Spirit, one by one. You're invited to come up the holy bench. Scott Merson's on one side to catch you, and I'm on the other side. We have a segment for healing for physical, mental, and emotional. And then we have a segment for deliverance from alcohol, from drugs, and pornography. And then last but not least, the Holy Spirit very often operates through me in the wonderful gifts of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, word of knowledge, word of wisdom, prophecy, etc. And so then we do that. Now everybody in the world is also invited to come here every Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio, internet, SoundCloud, Facebook, and through social taping. I'm in Century, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place, which is very healthy, is between Panita Causeway and Wickham Road. I am right there. You'll see a sign, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart, to your heart. The Antichrist and God's elect, Goliath and David. The Antichrist and God's elect, Goliath and David. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11 says, these things happened to them, these people in the Bible, Goliath and David, for an example for those of us who come to the end of the age. So the Antichrist is about to come. He comes before Jesus. Anti does not mean against in this case. It means the instead of. He's going to pretend to be Christ. He's the fake Christ. Well, we know Christ is Jesus, the Yeshua. But he's a fake Christ. He comes first. And he's going to deceive the whole world and half the body of Christ. The only ones who will not be deceived will be God's elect, chosen from before the foundation of the world. And they are not going to be deceived by him. Now, all of God's elect are alive right now on planet Earth for the end of the age. Whether you're 120, because we can live that long, Genesis 6, or whether you're just 12, which is about the age of accountability. So some of you will come against the Antichrist. And so we're going to learn about that.
Verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their army to battle. And they gather together unto Shoko, which belongeth to Judah, and pitch between Shoko and Azekah, and Pekish Damon. Verse 2. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and pitched by the valley of Elam, and set the battle in array against the Philistines.
Okay, two armies, the enemies of God and God's people. The pitch there does not mean they're fighting yet. They're getting ready. They're getting organized to fight.
Verse 3. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side, And Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them.
In the Bible, mountain means nation or kingdom. One nation against another nation. The Antichrist is a symbol. Goliath, going to be here, is a symbol of the devil and his children. He's a prince of darkness. He's a ruler of the air right now. On the other side, Israel, God's people, are the children of light. Now, we're getting ready. Everything's ready for battle against the children of darkness and the children of light. It's not yet ready, but it's being prepared.
Verse 4. And there went out a champion of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath.
Gath was a place where the giants, Anakims, lived. In Genesis chapter 6, the fallen angels refused to be born of women. And so they came in the angelic bodies and went in unto the women, and they produced giants, a hybrid. Well, that messed up God's plan of salvation. So God wiped all of those giants out in Noah's flood. But there was a second influx of them, and this Goliath is one of those. The fallen angels are called Nephilim. When the Antichrist appears before Jesus, he is going to bring those Nephilim with him. They are right now locked in chains. The book of Jude says so. Revelation says they will be called kings. Some of them are already released, and they are demons, but they look like people. They look like kings. They're gorgeous looking, and they're going to spread the gospel for their daddy, the devil, but they're going to call him Christ, fake Christ.
His height was 6 cubits and a span.
Ooh, okay. In Bible times, a cubit was measured from the king's elbow to his middle finger. Now, it varied depending on the height of the king. King Saul is a king. He's very tall. So it would be from 14 inches to 24 inches. So let's just conservatively say 18 inches, which is 9 feet tall. A span is the width of the king's hand, about 4 inches. So conservatively speaking, Goliath is 9 feet and 4 inches tall. He's a big one. Now, he is a type of the Antichrist, who is a devil with his Jesus costume on. In Ezekiel chapter 28, Lucifer, in the world that then was, 2 Peter 3:6 and 7, first earth age, he was a covering cherub. He was in the Garden of Eden, and he was taller than all.
Verse 5, and he had a helmet of brass upon his head.
Now, the Antichrist number, Revelation 13 says, is 666. Six seal, six vial, six trump. Okay. Now, what we're about to hear here is that Goliath is going to have six also. But remember, they're fake. And they're going to be very near to what God's elect will have on, the gospel armor of Ephesians 6. But God's elect will have on the real armor of God. And Goliath here, Antichrist, will have the fake armor. Okay, the helmet is number one.
And he was armed with a coat of nails.
A coat of nails, that's number two.
And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass.
It went all the way from his shoulders down to his knees.
Verse six. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs.
Greaves are shins that covered his lower leg. That is number three.
And a target of brass between his shoulders.
On his shoulder, he had either sword or spear, smaller, to use in combat. And so that would be number five. No, four.
Verse seven. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron.
That's about 5 feet, so that's number five.
And one bearing of shields went before him.
His armor bearer is number six. The armor bearer would have to be very tall and have a very tall armor before him. At homework, read Ephesians 6, and you'll find out that God's elect have the same thing, but ours is real and theirs, his is not. Okay. When the Antichrist comes here, Revelation 13 says the whole world will worship him. He'll be God of the earth, and they will think he's God. But it also says half of the body of Christ, who really love Jesus will worship him, thinking he's Jesus, metaphorically described in Matthew 25 as the five foolish virgins. The only ones who won't worship him will be the five wise virgins, God's very elect.
Verse 8, and he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, why you come out to set the battle in array? Am not I a Philistine?
I am the Philistine. Listen to the pride there. Pride goes before a fall. Why you come to battle, he says. I mean, why you want to battle me? The Antichrist will come in peacefully, safety, cause craft to prosper. Look, I love you. I'll give you anything you want. I am Jesus. I mean, just love me, and I'm not going to make war. I'm going to bring peace.
And ye servants to Saul?
Who are you?
Choose you a man for you, and let it come down to me.
Take you a warrior out of your group, Israel. When the Antichrist comes, God's very elect alive right now, a very small minority in the world, even half only of the body of Christ, who are chosen from before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1 chapter 4, are going to be delivered up to the Antichrist. God chose you for such a time as this. This is your great destiny. Do not be afraid. Luke chapter 12 says the elect are to be allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us in the language of the Holy Spirit, a tongue, like Pentecost, Acts 2. And when we speak in that tongue, everybody in the world will hear it in their own tongue. And the gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end shall come, chosen from before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Verse 9, if he be able to fight with me and kill me, then will we be your servants.
Okay, he says, if you can kill me, we'll serve you.
But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us.
If he should kill me, then, okay, so this is a deal. Now, when the Antichrist comes, because the whole world will worship him, calling him God, and half the Christians, some of you listening, you love Jesus. He's going to have two horns of a lamb, the power of Jesus, seemingly, but the voice of a dragon. He's going to call himself Theosata in the Greek, God's Savior, but Jesus is Yahweh's Savior. But if you worship him and go with him, you won't win. You lose your salvation, for he is the devil.
Verse 10, and the Philistine said, I do defy the armies of Israel this day.
Now, when he defies the armies of Israel, God is the God of the armies of Israel. He is defying the Most High God. When Antichrist comes, calling himself Theosata, the fake Christ, he is defying the Lord of we, the Christians. He is defying Jesus. He's calling himself Jesus.
Give me a man that we may fight together.
Bring someone out here.
Verse 11.
The only ones who will fight him will be God's elect. Everybody else is going to go on his side. Do not be afraid. Luke 21, Jesus says, fear not. Not one hair of your head shall be harmed, unless you don't let the Holy Spirit speak in his language.
And Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine.
Everybody heard it. When the Antichrist is here de facto, actually in body, de jure, in his body, the ones who are going to hear and know he's Antichrist will be God's elect. Everybody else will think he's God. There are going to be two witnesses, Revelation 9, who will be telling the elect that this is the Antichrist. They come about, they're already here, but you'll be aware of them telling you the Antichrist is on his way about 10 days before.
They were dismayed and greatly afraid.
They were terribly afraid, but Jesus says, fear not. Luke 21, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Why are you afraid? God's not giving you a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, of a sound mind.
Amen. Verse 12. Now David was a son of an Ephrathite of Bethlehem of Judah, whose name was Jesse. And he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul.
Okay. We go back to Jesse, David's father. He's got 8 sons. Although he's getting on up there in age, he's just going about strong and flourishing. The Bible says that God's elect are strong and flourishing, even old age. In old age, you'll bear more fruit than ever before.
Amen.
So what is the matter with some of you sitting down? Have you ever won a soul to Jesus and you're not yet 120? Where is your fight? Where is your power, church? Why are you not turning this world upside down,
Amen.
Strong and flourishing, bearing more fruit in old age than ever before?
Amen.
Amen.
Verse 13. And the 3 elder sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle.
Okay, 3 of the older sons said, we'll fight in the army.
And the names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, the firstborn, and next to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah.
Now you remember that when God sent the prophet Samuel to anoint the next king of Israel, a man after God's own heart, David, to be king, and David was the youngest, these 3 were rejected, so they don't have a good heart for David. Keep that in mind. In the body of Christ, you're going to find that the deceived part of the church, thinking the Antichrist is Jesus, will look down on the elect. They'll even think you're not saved. They're going to actually turn you into the Antichrist. The brother will turn the brother to death. The mother, the daughter, the father, the son. Not to kill you, death's name is the devil. They mean well, they are deceived.
Verse 14, and David was the youngest, and the 3 elders followed Saul. Verse 15, but David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem.
Now remember last week, David had been called to King Saul to play his little harp, because Saul would go mad with demons, and David would play his harp, and music calms the savage beast. But he's returned back there, and he's taking care of the sheep. The very elect always take care of the sheep. Those other Christians say, I love you. They don't ever know when you're alone. They don't know when you're crying. They don't even know when you're sick. If you can do something for them, they'll let you. But God's elect feel your pain. They know when you're hurting. They cry for you. They pray for you. They fast for you. They give you all of their money. The elect always take care of the sheep. Jesus is a shepherd, and every Christian is a sheep. You can tell a real elect, they take care of the sheep. I'm not talking about bringing a sandwich. I'm not talking about doing a good thing. I'm talking about feeling your pain and praying for you and picking you up when you're down.
Amen.
Do you do that?
Yes.
Verse 16, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days.
40 days is, in biblical numerics, is a number of testing. In the book of Daniel, a prophecy of the Antichrist. The entire tribulation of the Antichrist in Daniel is 7 years, but it's divided in half, times, times, and a half time, 3.5 years, and then 3.5 years. Now, the last 3.5 years, the last times, times, and a half time, is when the Antichrist himself, that old devil with his Jesus costume, will be here in Jerusalem. He'll be here in body, but his time, the time of the Antichrist, has been shortened for the elect's sake. Mark 13, Matthew 24. But the first 3.5 years, times, times, and a half time in Daniel, has not been shortened. This is the time of the political system of the Antichrist. His children in the flesh and also his demons. They are the political system. And right now, when COVID hit, the whole world had a new set there. COVID is a demonic force. Have you noticed from 20, 21, 22, and now going to 23, everything has changed, everything has stopped? Political system of the Antichrist, 3.5 years. We're very near the appearance of the Antichrist.
Verse 17. And Jesse said unto David his son, take now to thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn.
An ephah is a basket. Corn is in italics. When it's in italics, God didn't say it. The translators put it there by mistake. Parched means roasted ears of grain. Put them in a basket.
And these 10 loaves.
And 10 loaves. Put them in a, well, they can't put them in a basket. Put them in your, he's going to put them in a cart called a carriage. It's kind of like a little wagon, an ox cart.
And run to the camp of thy brethren.
And run. Hook up that little cart there, that carriage with a horse. Come on, horsey, go. Run to your brothers. See how they are. The elect run to the other brothers. You don't have to call them. They know when you're hurting. They feel it. They pray for you.
Verse 18. And carry these 10 cheeses to the captain of their thousands.
Also, put in your little cart their 10 cheeses and give that to give to all of the soldiers. The Antichrist will say nobody can buy nor sell except you take the mark of the beast unless you worship him. However, in the book of Kings, 1 Kings, Elijah the prophet was running from a type of Antichrist, Jezebel and Ahab. And he had no food, but a raven bird brought him food. God takes care of his elect.
Amen.
And look how thy brethren fare.
See how they're doing. The Father loves the sons and protects the sons.
And take their pledge.
Take their pledge. I mean, Jesse says, David, cut off a little snip of the hair or have them write a note. Bring something back to me so I'll know they're all right. And for God's elect, Jesus says in Luke 21, not one hair of your head shall be harmed.
Amen. Verse 19. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. Verse 20.
Now, again, they were not fighting yet. They were getting ready to fight.
And David.
Right now, we're getting ready to fight. Amen. The political system is lining up the one world order. Every day it comes true. And we're getting ready for the battle. This won't be a battle of guns and bullets and swords. It's a spiritual battle.
He rose up early in the morning.
He rose up early in the morning. No matter what, the elect know that between 3 and 5 a.m., heaven is open, and God's heart is sensitive to your prayers. He wants to talk to you. Early in the morning, the elect get up, and they pray, and they commune with God. They don't pray for themselves. They pray for other people by name. They still take care of the sheep.
I left the sheep with a keeper.
The keeper is God. The elect take care of the sheep.
And took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight, and shouted for the battle.
He heard the soldiers say, let's roll, it's battle time. The very elect are right here for this time. God did not make a mistake when you were born. If you're 12, and I'm saying that sometimes somebody can be accountable younger than that. I was, but most 12 years old are accountable to 120. You came through your mother's womb from God. Your spirit came exactly the right time. This is the time for you because God can only trust those chosen from before the foundation of the world. He loves the others, but they are not strong. Only the elect will stand. Having done all, you stand.
Amen.
Verse 21, for Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array.
In other words, getting ready to fight.
Army against army.
Army against army. When the Antichrist comes, there are going to be two great battles just before Jesus comes after the Antichrist. And there's going to be the battle of Haman Gog, Ezekiel chapter 38, 39, and it's going to be Battle of Armageddon, and that's in Revelation. There are two armies there. Now, these battles are going to be short-lived because then Jesus is bringing the armies from heaven, and Jesus wins. Hallelujah.
Amen.
By the way, the Battle of Haman Gog is when Esau comes against Jacob. Esau is Edom, is Russia. Russia, Russia, Russia. You get my drift?
Yes.
Verse 22, and David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran unto the army.
Okay, a carriage is a cart. All of those soldiers brought their little carriages, a cart, they left it with the horses, so they had a valet. He's parking those carts. But you notice that David didn't get his stuff out of the cart. He was in a hurry. The elect don't worry about the stuff. You worry about obeying God. You don't care about your money. You don't care about the stuff. You just leave your stuff in the cart and you obey God. David left his stuff in the cart.
And came and saluted his brethren.
Hi, brothers.
Verse 23. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, a Philistine of Gath.
Perfect timing. Again, God's elect, some of you are listening, you were born at the perfect time. For such a time as this, God trusts you. Perfect timing.
Goliath, thy name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words.
Okay, he says, send me out a champion. David hears this. Don't forget, we learned last week he's a man of war, he's valiant, he's courageous, he's prudent, he's discreet, he's wise, and he has good judgment.
And David,
so God's elect,
with them. First trick.
David heard. This is when the very elect will hear the world say, the Savior is here. They will hear the preachers in the pulpit say, well, we didn't fly away, but Jesus is here. We'll wait a while. But they'll be hearing the two witnesses say, don't be discouraged. God is with you.
Before, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, they fled from him. Were so afraid.
They were afraid. In a way, it's good they fled. Jesus says in Mark 13, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing where he ought not, don't go to him, run from him, don't worship him. Satan, pretend to be Jesus, is an abomination.
Yes. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel has he come up.
He turns over to David. David's tall and good-looking and strong there. David, have you seen this guy? Yep, David saw him.
And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king would enrich him with great riches.
Wait just a minute. David says, what? You're going to get rewards? When Jesus comes back, Revelation says he's going to bring rewards for those who have overcome the Antichrist.
And will give him his daughter.
Woo! David is 16 to 17 years old, teenager. Might I get the pretty girl? God's elect will be the only ones who will be able to marry Jesus. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus is the bridegroom. The elect will be the bride. Be in the royal family. And the elect will sit at his throne with him and rule and reign with him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And make his father's house free in Israel.
That means that the whoever wins this, his father won't have to pay any taxes. Remember, Jesse is David's father. David loves Jesse.
Verse 26. And David spake to the man that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine?
What did he say? What are the rewards? David's smart. He's discreet. He's checking it once. He's checking it twice. What's the reward? I get the pretty girl.
And taketh away the reproach from Israel.
And taketh away the reproach. He's defying the Most High God. David was a man after God's own heart. He was madly in love with God. The elect are madly in love with Jesus Christ. And when the Antichrist comes calling himself Jesus, we don't like that a bit. We stand up for Jesus. We're not ashamed of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine?
I'm so glad he said that. Circumcision meant that they shed blood. All the seed of Abraham, they would cut a little foreskin off the male's genital part there. And that meant the Messiah was going to come and shed his blood for the remission of sins. So David says, that Philistine there is not covered with the blood of Jesus. We got the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What will make us whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There's power in the blood. So the elect know we got the power of the blood. We got the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony.
Amen.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. The blood will never lose its power.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But he should defy the armies of the living God.
The living God. His gods are wood and sticks and stones. Right now, most of the world and some of the Christians, your God is money. Your God is yourself, me, myself, and I, fun, power. Whoa, but not the elect. We really don't give anything about money or fame. We give it all away anyway. We're in love with Jesus.
Verse 27, and the people answered him after this manner, saying, so shall it be to the man that killeth him.
You're right, David, you heard it right. These are the rewards.
Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when David spake to the men, and his anger was kindled against David.
Eliab was mad because David was going to be the next king and not Eliab. He was the oldest and tall and good looking. And so he's angry. No, he's just jealous.
And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?
Notice it says few. He's putting him down. But you see, the elect know we don't despise small beginnings. Big doors open on little hinges.
I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thy heart.
No, David didn't have that. That was in Eliab. Have you ever noticed how the bad politicians accuse the good politicians of what the bad politicians are doing?
Yes.
Same thing here.
Yeah.
For thou hast come down that thou mightest see the battle. Verse 29. And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?
This uncircumcised Philistine is coming against the God of Israel. That is a cause. And I tell you, elect, it's time for you all over this world, and especially the United States of America, all 50 states, it is time for you to realize there's a cause. The political system of the Antichrist has come to destroy America. And you sit there, and you go to work, and you don't even pray in the Spirit. You don't fight. You don't even come to America's Day of Repentance. You don't cry. You don't sob. You don't fast. Get up and fight. There's a cause. Jesus is being desecrated in America. What is this? He's the God of America. Jesus is.
Amen. Amen.
And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner.
Yes, this is what's happening, David. King Saul is going to give the reward to the one who brings down Goliath.
Verse 31. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul.
Saul, we got to take her here. The first one.
And he sent for him.
He sent for him. God's elect are sent from before the foundation of the world. They are sent for such a time as this. You weren't born to make money. You're not here for yourself, your fun. You're not here for a career. You might do some of these things. You are here. You're sent from God to stand against the Antichrist. Do you know that? That's your purpose.
Amen.
Verse 32. And David said unto Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him.
Don't let anyone be afraid. The elect always say, fear not. Jesus says, fear not, I've overcome the world.
Thy servant will go and fight with the Philistine.
I'll go. And only those who will not worship the Antichrist will be delivered up to him. But remember, don't fear. If you let the Holy Spirit speak to you in his language, not one hair of your head shall be harmed. Read Luke 12 and read Luke 21.
Verse 33. And Saul said unto David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth.
Saul has lost his anointing. He doesn't realize that David, although young, has the Holy Spirit anointing. He's baptized with fire. Jesus said, you shall see power after the Holy Spirit's come upon you. You have power over all the power of the enemies. Luke 10, 19.
And he, a man of war from his youth.
He's been at war for a long time. So has the devil, Lucifer, in Isaiah 14. He rebelled against God, has been rebelling against God, God's children ever since. He's a great warrior. Lucifer, the devil, is more subtle than anyone. Right now, some of you are being defeated by the devil, and you don't yet know that he is a defeated foe. He's distracting you. So you'll be so busy, you're not all that God wants you to be. That's the devil. That's the way he works.
Verse 34. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear.
Here's my work resume.
I took a lamb out of the flock. Verse 35. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him.
I pulled him by his mane and I killed him. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. David's a type of Jesus. The devil had beaten us up and Jesus came and pulled us out of the lion's mouth. Your enemy, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Some of you are already in his mouth. Why don't you stand up in the name of Jesus, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and get the victory, Christian.
Amen.
Verse 36. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear.
Two of them. Mouth of two wits, the man's established.
And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God.
If God be for you, who can be against you, say the elect.
Amen.
Verse 37. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paws of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he would deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine.
That is faith talking. David is a type of Jesus. And Jesus said in Mark 11, if you say to this mountain, that's a nation, a kingdom, the devil, be thou removed and cast in the sea, and doubt not, but believe in your heart that what you say, you shall have what you say. Many years later, David's own son Solomon would write in Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The word of God is more powerful than a two-edged sword. Faith talking. God's elect call forth the victory before the battle's even begun. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee.
You're hired. The Antichrist and God's elect, Goliath and David, I pray you are blessed.
Amen, amen, amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing good, Miss Sherry. I'm fired up after that.
Fired up,
amen.
Yep. Well, David left his stuff in the cart. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Philippians 4:9.
Absolutely perfect. God was Amen. With David. Thank you, Scott. Great, Scott. Before I pray for healing, anyone in the world who's not saved, God bless all of you out in cyberspace. I love you. I feel your spirits. Pray this prayer with me and mean it from your heart, and God will save you right now. Here we go. Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
Almighty God, in Jesus' name, I am a sinner.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I change my mind.
I change my mind.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Jesus Christ, Son of God, come into my heart.
Save my soul.
Save my soul.
Forgive all my sins.
Forgive all my sins.
Wash them away with your precious blood.
Wash them away with your precious blood.
Baptize me with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
And order my steps where you want me in your church.
And order my steps where you want me in your church.
I confess with my mouth.
I believe in my heart
that God raised Jesus from the dead. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Use me to win many souls to Jesus. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now, for those of you in cyberspace, the Bible says with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. And you need to tell people. I invite you to tell me. In a little while, Scott, my announcer, will give you my telephone number. Feel free to call that. I invite you to. That's my voicemail. Call and leave a confession on there. You also may email me, and I'll give you that in a moment. For every new Christian, get yourself a Bible, Old Testament and New. You need them both. I suggest the King James because it is the only version that could trace almost every word back to the original language in which God dictated, Hebrew, Greek, Chaldee, Aramaic, and Syriac. Then you want to start praying every day. Find a place in your home, nobody there, no noise, no music, no dogs, no people, and pray. Call him Father now. Father, in the name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, develop your prayer life because no prayer, no power. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. And then you want to go to church every time the door opens. On the Sabbath, whether it's your Sunday or Saturday and midweek, go every time the door opens. You need all of that. Find a church that teaches God's word one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Why? Because Paul said to read this epistle to the church. And Isaiah 28 says line by line. And then you want to make sure that the Holy Spirit power is there. And the shepherd of that church has the anointing of the Holy Spirit and operates in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Be faithful, and I love you. Here's my email. You may email me your confession or your prayer request or your praise reports or just tell me you love me because I love you. Here's my email. SHARI Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, trumpetoftruth@gmail.com. The G is for God. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Now for all of you who have any kind of a sickness, Jesus took 39 stripes on his back. And the Bible says with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53, 5, 1 Peter 2:24. So Father, in the name of Jesus, everybody who has any kind of sickness, if you can touch that part of your body, in the name of Jesus, touch the part of the body, believe and receive, with Jesus' stripes you are healed. Now let's say it. With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. With Jesus' stripes, I am healed. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Healing verse are flowing through you. He sent his word and healed you. He restores health to you. Pick up your bed and walk. Faith is enough. God bless you. I love you. This is your second best friend, Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is the Lord Jesus Christ. He will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He knows when you're crying. He knows when you're alone. And he takes care of his sheep. And no greater love is this, that a man laid out his life for his friend. I love you too. And I'm looking forward to next time when all over the world and everybody in here, we get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Thank you for listening to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Merritt Island, Melbourne, Titusville and the Beaches, 91.5 FM, as well as W272BA, Cocoa Beach, Vieira, FM 102.3.
Is it true?
Hi, everyone. I'm Danny Whiting, the new general manager for FM radio station WMIE 91.5. And it's time for our semi-annual fundraiser. Offering this year's appeal will begin Monday, April 17th, and continue through April 24th. I hope that you will prayerfully consider making a donation to WMIE's radio ministry so that we can continue to bring you sound preaching, Bible teaching, and worship music through the airways. You can send your donations via mail to WMIE, 1150 West King Street, Cocoa, Florida, 32922, or you can call us with your pledge at 321-632-1000. And we'll take your information over the phone, or even more convenient, you can go to WMIEFM.com and click on the donate to make your donation. Thank you, and God bless.
Somewhere between the hot and the cold, somewhere between the new and the old, somewhere between who I am and who I used to be, somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Somewhere between the wrong and the right, somewhere between the darkness and the light, somewhere between who I was and who you're making me, somewhere in the middle you'll find me. close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? Are we caught in the middle? Somewhere between my heart and my hands, somewhere between my faith and my plans, somewhere between the safety of the boat and the crashing waves, somewhere between a whisper and a roar, somewhere between the altar and the door, somewhere between contented peace and always wanting more, somewhere in the middle you'll find me. Just how close can I get, Lord, to my surrender without losing all control? Fearless warriors in a picket fence, reckless abandon wrapped in common sense, deep water faith in the shallow end, and we are caught in the middle with eyes wide open to the differences, the God we want and the God who is. But will we trade our dreams for his, or are we caught in the middle? Lord, I feel you in this place, and I know you're by my side, loving me even on these nights when I'm caught in the middle.
Stand before your throne, dressed in glory not my own. What a joy I'll sing of on that day. No more tears or broken dreams, forgotten is the minor key. Everything as it was meant to be. And we will worship. See you.
then, Lord, shall I know. Not till then how much I owe. Everything I am before your throne. And we will worship, worship forever in your presence. We will sing, we will
And your radios are tuned in to W272BA, 102.3 FM and 91.5 FM, WMIE.
He sees you down by the waterline. He knows what you're thinking all the time. He sees the rise.